Dear brothers and sisters, may today's message help us examine what our worship and prayers should resemble using the passage in which God was pleased with the 1,000 burnt offerings offered by Solomon and granting him astonishing blessings. I pray in the name of the Lord that the weekly worship and daily prayers become a delightful, rich, and beautiful fragrance before the throne of Father God, especially in 2026. Dear brothers and sisters, 2 Chronicles 1 verse 7, in that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask what I shall give you." This was the word spoken by God when he appeared to King Solomon after being pleased with the 1,000 burnt offerings that Solomon had offered with all his heart. What about you? If God said to you, "Ask what I shall give you," what would you ask before God? I'll give you a bit of time to think about it. What would you ask God to give you? What request would you ask to God? Even if you didn't specifically say it out loud in a specific moment, what about during your prayers? What is it that you ask for God? When you pray, there are times when God will answer you straight away. So it's really important for you to look back on what you ask before God throughout your daily lives. Do you regret if it's a small request that God grants straight away and regret thinking perhaps you should have asked for a larger request? As you write down your prayer topics for 2026 and write it down on their prayer cards, are you perhaps conflicted on what you should write on the card? Are you still thinking about your three personal prayer topics to write down? God is asking you, "What shall I give you?" What would you respond? Now, today's sermon's main character is revolved around Solomon. If Father God were to say to you, "What would you ask for?" then Solomon said in 2 Chronicles 1 verses 8 to 10, "You have dealt with my father David with great loving kindness and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, your promise to my father David is fulfilled, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth." Now, Solomon was extremely wise in his response. As I mentioned in yesterday's memorial service, Solomon is using David as an example to receive the same or similar loving kindness and grace that God gave to David, and is asking for that to be passed down to himself. Solomon is wisely pointing out all the good that God has given to his father David so that Solomon could receive the same or more on David's behalf. Now, the remaining Bible verse says, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can rule this great people of yours?" Then God granted Solomon an astonishing blessing, saying, "Because you had this in mind and did not ask for riches, wealth, or honor, or the life of those who hate you, nor did you ask for long life, but asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may rule my people over whom I have made you king, wisdom and knowledge have been granted to you. I will also give you riches, wealth, and honor, such as none of the kings who were before you has possessed, nor those who will come after you." God gave Solomon his wishes. Solomon asked for wisdom to rule over God's people. So God surely gave all of Solomon's wishes and even granted him what he didn't ask for, because God was pleased with the 1,000 burnt offerings. It's a great blessing to have, to receive. So why was God so pleased with Solomon's 1,000 burnt offerings? First, it was because he offered them to God with reverence, devoting his heart and sincere effort to him. Solomon was the king who ruled Israel for about 40 years, from 970 to 930 BC. Because his father, King David, had already laid the political, economic, and military foundations of the United Kingdom of Israel, Solomon was able to govern the nation in a time of stability. He also grew up under the spiritual instruction of the prophet Nathan and ascended the throne at the young age of 20 by God's grace. In his early years, he was a good king who loved the Lord and walked in the statutes of his father David. 1 Kings 3 verse 3 to 4, "Now Solomon loved the Lord, walking in his statutes of his father David, except he sacrificed and burnt incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar." When Solomon became king, he loved God and offered the 1,000 burnt offerings first in order to please God above all else. This shows that Solomon didn't rely on himself, but trusted only in God. The fact that Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings as king doesn't simply mean that he sacrificed 1,000 bulls or sheep as burnt offerings. Don't misunderstand that 1,000 burnt offerings means offering a burnt offering for 1,000 days. It means sacrificing bulls or sheep, 1,000 bulls or sheep as a burnt offering. And some people read this part of the Bible and consider it as if Solomon had offered 1,000 days worth of burnt offerings, and they do the same. But some people also say that they will fast for 1,000 days or offer up a special vowed prayer for 1,000 days, which of course in itself is amazing and a great accomplishment, that Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings, meaning 1,000 bulls or sheep, to God with all his heart. And in Solomon's time, how could it be possible for God, for Solomon to offer vowed burnt offerings every day for 1,000 days, which is about close to 3 years? So while 1,000 cattle may be large in general, it was a number that a wealthy nation's king could offer. But the reason God was pleased with Solomon's 1,000 burnt offerings was that he offered them with his heart, gathered in reverence and fear of God. Don't consider 1,000 burnt offerings, 1,000 cattle, as a number that a nation's king could offer and think that, you know, it's not that amazing. The part that God was pleased with was his heart, was Solomon's heart. Solomon's soul purpose was to revere God and fear God and love God and offer up this great burnt offering with all his heart, with all his devotion. It wasn't to show off before the people of offering 1,000 cattle, which of course is great, it's a great number, but the fact that the king of the nation, Solomon, could offer up this burnt offering with all his heart is what pleased God. Solomon is actually king in a nation in a time where Israel is stable. He could have easily just neglected God or just become complacent with his ruling over the nation. But Solomon was not complacent. He offered everything to God in humility and asked for God's help. A burnt offering is not a simple act of worship like today. It's a sacrificial method in which the animal brought as an offering is placed on the altar, cut into pieces, its flesh prepared and entirely burned so that its soothing aroma may please God. This sacrifice signifies offering your very life and symbolizes complete sacrifice and wholehearted devotion to God. In today's terms, it corresponds to worship offered before God in spirit and truth. The offering presented as a burnt offering was an unblemished male from the herd or the flock, or a turtle dove or a young pigeon. When people offer sacrifices to idols or evil spirits, they do so with unblemished and clean food with sincerity. How much more should the offering presented before the Almighty God be without defect and of the very best? Giving a burnt offering to God, when you do offer a burnt offering to God, there's a big difference between a dove, a turtle dove, a pigeon, and a cattle. There's a great difference between all of these animals, and Father God made sure that there were differences in what could be offered to God because of the different socioeconomic levels in each person. For each person, not everyone is wealthy and have riches. So what about for the poor? The poor are unable to offer an unblemished male from the herd or the flock. Perhaps they will offer a dove or a young pigeon. God made sure that all people from all stations could offer up something before God with all their heart and devotion, something within their means. Same for us in this day and age. God doesn't always ask for monetary offerings. Perhaps it can be through your actions, your devotion, your actions, your wholeheartedness to God. We're not in the Old Testament now. The most important thing to offer to God is your heart, is your devotion, is your action. If you consider your relationship between friends, family, couples, you don't always spend your money. You don't always need to spend your money. But how can you feel and understand other people's heart towards you? And how can you receive grace from other people? A lot of the time, it's through their words, it's through their actions, through their heart that you can feel pouring out from them. Of course, you can also feel the fakeness of people's words, actions, and heart. So even though you may have the heart of love, if you don't show it through your actions, it may not be able to be transferred. It might not be true. Even between people, you need to have a good relationship. Or if you want to have a good relationship, you should be able to convey that love. that great grace, that joy from the heart through your action. Even if you give a gift to someone, if it's done reluctantly and without joy in the heart, the person receiving it won't be truly pleased. It's not the matter of price. It doesn't matter how expensive or how inexpensive the gift is. For example, let's say your close friend has told you that you don't like a certain food or a dessert or a certain item, but that person, they listen to it, but end up gifting you the very thing that you don't like and have already mentioned that you don't like for your birthdays or for special occasions, then what would you think? You'd think that, you know, you would think that the person you consider close to you don't listen to you. When you go and visit other people's houses or you want to gift someone a gift, you need to really truly consider what it is that they like. For example, fruit. Say you were invited to a housewarming party and you want to give a gift in the form of a fruit. But if the fruit is not tasty, the person receiving it may even think, oh, do they not like me? Why is it that they are giving me a gift that's not delicious? You need to really think about what it is that you are giving as a gift to other people. Even if it's small, it should be something that you would like to receive that you can eat as well. When I was young, my mother, prayer director Bok Nim Lee, always loved serving other people and loved giving and cooking food for other church workers that would come by and visit the house. And when my mother would prepare the table for other guests of the church, she would make sure that it was of good quality. So she would go to the markets and choose certain food items. And of course, the markets were a bit more inexpensive than, say, department stores or normal supermarkets. But just because it was cheap at the markets doesn't mean that she would buy the less quality food items. She would always make sure that the items chosen were of good quality. So whatever it is that she did, serving church members and serving church workers, my mother never did anything half-heartedly. It was always done with all of her heart, with all her devotion, to make sure that it was delicious, that it was of good quality. And all these actions have her deep love and heart within it. Even if it's a small gift or an inexpensive gift, I hope that you can prepare something for other people with all your heart of good quality. The burnt offering Solomon presented to God was offered with his whole heart and devotion. It was accepted as a beautiful and pleasing aroma, truly worthy of being received by God. Yet in Malachi 1 verses 6 to 9, God speaks with great anger toward the priests who offered defective and unclean sacrifices, calling them priests who despise my name. So I hope that when you hear the verse in Malachi, that you reflect upon yourself and truly ask yourself, what is your worship like? Are you worshiping in spirit and in truth? How is God viewing your worship attitude? You really need to think how God is viewing you. Malachi 1 verses 6 to 9. You are presenting defiled food upon my altar, but you say, how have we defiled you? In that you say, the table of the Lord is to be despised. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? When you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you, or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? When you offer to God, you would have offered with whole devotion from their heart. I'm sure that no one would want to present something that's evil or sick, something that cannot be offered to, say, the president of the nation. But let's say that there are people who are acting in evil or showing wickedness, but trying to offer their offerings to God. It would be presenting defiled food upon God's altar. Of course, no one would really present to God a dirty or defiled food upon his altar. But the fact that God is saying these words is showing that that is how some of the people are offering to God in their heart. They're not literally presenting defiled food, but it's from the heart that you need to check. Continuing on in Malachi, but now will you not entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us? With such an offering on your part, will he receive any of you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? God is saying that if you do not offer with your heart, then he cannot receive it kindly. And these words are presenting the fact that people are not offering to God with their heart. It's done reluctantly. So God is saying, then why don't you offer it to your governor if this is how you would offer it to God? Continuing on with Malachi, oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates, that you might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. So God is saying that someone should shut the gates of the altar because God doesn't want any of the offerings that people are trying to give because of their stance in their heart, because of the defiledness of the food, of how they are presenting the offerings to God. So let's look on your own lives. Let's look back. Are you judging? Are you condemning? Are you fighting? Are you showing temper and anger and swearing and cursing throughout the whole entire week? But simply come to church on Sunday with great clothes, offerings, and trying to volunteer for the church? God cannot accept it with pleasure. If you live your life for 6 days in a week in total evilness and wickedness and sin, and simply come to church once a week and ask God for help by simply offering an offering, you need to offer a life, a worship that is pleasing to God. So ask. Ask yourself what it is that you need to do before God in order to receive the question from God on what shall I give you? Every day in your life, you need to check your heart and live a life where God can praise you, saying that God is happy for you to always offer up a worship to God every day and each day. The sacrifices of the Old Testament correspond to worship in today's time. Though there are many churches around the world and many Sunday or other appointed services, the worship that Father God truly receives with joy is to worship in spirit and truth. To worship in spirit means that God's Word is unfolded under the inspiration and moving of the Holy Spirit, that God's will is proclaimed rightly and accurately, and that those who worship understand the Word through the Holy Spirit and take it as spiritual nourishment. For this kind of worship, the sermon must first be a message that accords with God's will and be delivered through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Then believers can listen to the Word under the Holy Spirit's moving, gain understanding, and receive it as nourishment. It's important that pastors examine whether their preaching is proclaiming God's desired will accurately. Sometimes you'll see that pastors preach according to their own will and not God's will. They preach according to human thoughts and human methods, and they don't search for God's desired will. What would happen if someone preaches based on human thoughts without rightly discerning God's will, or refrain from testifying about the spiritual realm out of fear of persecution? Then people wouldn't come to know God, who is spirit, nor the spiritual world. It'll be difficult for people to long for God or for heaven. Before you go to heaven, angels help you while the enemy devil and Satan hinder you whilst on earth. If this kind of spiritual knowledge is not taught, what kind of faith life can you truly live? If preaching is adjusted to those who seek an easy faith, it'll inevitably be delivered with human thoughts, theories, and common sense rather than conveying the message God truly desires. Amos 8 verse 11, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord." This is a prophecy that as the last days draw near, the spiritual realm will seem increasingly unclear, making it more difficult to hear God's word that gives life, that gives true life. In these times, our church has pressed on, has advanced to proclaim the will that God desires and delights. The core of that message has been to cast off evil, become sanctified, restore the lost image of God, and to receive spiritual faith and power from above in order to live a life that glorifies God. In the new year, may we all continue to proclaim God-centered messages and give glory to Him as a church that is praised by the Lord. The kind of worship God joyfully accepts is worship offered in truth. To worship in truth means to offer worship with all our heart, mind, and soul. In this church, even with a special song, we prepare and present it with all our heart, mind, and soul. What about when we decorate the sanctuary? For example, the November Thanksgiving altar, when we make the boxes and their shapes in order to offer up grains and fruit and vegetables of best quality to Father God. And we can see that the women's mission, who are usually in charge of preparing the fruit, the vegetables and the grains and so forth, they always prepare the best of the best in quality to Father God. They may go to markets in order to buy in bulk, but they still try and choose the best quality to offer to God. And when the women's mission team go to the markets, they don't just buy one or two as if they were going to use it for their homes or for their families. they simply buy in bulk. So the people at the markets, they ask our women's mission team why, what it's for, why they're buying so much in bulk. And the women's mission team would respond with how it's for the Thanksgiving at church. And these market vendors would actually reply saying, oh, other people from other churches actually came by our stall to buy fruit and vegetables and so forth, but they didn't ask for the best of the best. They just bought whatever was there. So our church always offers the best for God. Same with our flower offerings, wherever it is, whatever it is, whichever event or season, we always try our best to offer up the cleanest, the most beautiful, and the best before God. And our Christmas lighting decorations around the church, but especially in the pastor's residence garden, they start a month before the actual Christmas lighting ceremony. Some people place holidays at work in order to volunteer and put their effort in decorating the sanctuary. They don't just do it half-heartedly. They put in their whole devotion, their whole heart in offering to God a desirable offering. Most Christians keep the Lord's Day fully and obey the word of Father God by attending the Sunday evening service. What do Christians look like when they come to worship and pray? They worship and offer praise in clean and proper appearance, neat and tidy, an upright posture. This isn't to be seen by people, but because it's a worship and praise offered to God, to our Lord. Even at special classical performances, at operas, performers along with the audience are dressed in formal attire. Overseas, you may see some performances, events that are held at palaces, at opera houses. And most of the time, it's a black tie event. You need to dress in formal attire. At some fine dining restaurants, you can enter only if your attire and footwear are proper. Check the kind of appearance and heart and the way that you attend church in worship offered to the Holy God. I pray that you offer your worship and praise and devotion with utmost sincerity in both spirit and body so that it can become a fragrant aroma to God. May you receive the blessing of the 1,000 burnt offerings. The second reason Father God was pleased with Solomon and granted him astonishing blessings was because Solomon asked for what was according to God's heart. When Solomon offered the devotion of 1,000 burnt offerings to God, God asked Solomon, "Ask what you wish me to give you." It was a perfect opportunity to receive all that Solomon desired. At the time, Solomon was pure, without selfish desire, and his heart was not yet corrupted. By hearing the clear voice of truth, he didn't ask for himself, but asked wisdom to govern the people, seeking in accordance to God's heart, not for his own benefit, but for the sake of the people, and to carry out the important works of God. It was important to be wise like Solomon. When you make requests before God, being wise does not mean worrying what you should ask for so that God will be pleased. The scriptures have already shown you how to pray in a way that pleases God, so act accordingly. Matthew 6, verse 33, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." To seek first His kingdom means to pray that the kingdom of God may flourish. is to pray for the church, pastors, elders, and workers, and for the salvation of souls through sanctuary construction and world missions. To seek His righteousness means to pray to become people of light who live according to God's righteousness, the truth. Even if you believe in the Lord and are saved, you can still commit sins and dwell in darkness because of the evil within the heart. Until the day you meet the Lord, you must strive to seek God's righteousness and be transformed. When you seek His kingdom and His righteousness and ask for the desires of your heart, you can receive answers quickly. What is the desire of your heart? Spiritually, it's to be quickly transformed and enter New Jerusalem. Perhaps those with illnesses desire to be healed, and others desire blessings with business or workplaces. To receive answers and blessings, the first thing you must do is seek His righteousness. The Bible gives reason as to why answers are not received and why you're unable to receive them. Jeremiah 5 verse 25, your iniquities have turned these away and your sins have withheld good from you. This means that in most cases, answers and blessings are blocked because of the barrier of sin. In 2 Chronicles 6 verse 38 to 39, Solomon prayed to God after completing the sanctuary of God over 7 years. If they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, where they have been taken captive, and pray toward their land which you have given to their fathers and the city which you have chosen and toward the house which I built for your name, then hear from heaven, from your dwelling place, their prayer and supplications and maintain their cause and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Even if the people have been taken captive to a land far away, if they can repent, pray, and offer their supplications, maintain their cause, then they can receive forgiveness. This is a special blessing, a special meaning of the sanctuary. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. To ask for something and receive an answer, forgiveness of sins must come first. In the Bible, there are many accounts in which diseases were healed after forgiveness of sins was received. Mark 2 verse 5, Jesus said to a paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." He also received forgiveness of sins. Then his paralysis was healed so that he walked at once. Mary Magdalene also heard the words that her sins were forgiven when she prepared fragrant oil with devotion and came to Jesus with utmost love and poured it on him. These people were able to experience the healing of all diseases, answers to prayer, and true peace. Those who received the grace of forgiveness of sins from our Lord Jesus received forgiveness and resolution of problems. 1 John 1 verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. It's not merely by attending church that you receive forgiveness of sins. Rather, when we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sins. When you confess your sins before God, resolve in the heart to live again in the light, turn from the paths of darkness and walk in the light, you can receive forgiveness of sins. Before you ask for answers and blessings, realize that God delights in prayers of repentance over sin and prayers for sanctification so that you can become children of light who resemble God. A repentance prayer doesn't end with prayer alone. It must be accompanied by the action of turning away. Then God is pleased and answers your requests. So what about during our Daniel prayer meetings at Mammon Central Church? We always offer up nightly prayers. How much do you repent? How do you pray before God? If you look at our daily scenario of the Daniel prayer meetings, we always repent first before God and ask and pray for God's kingdom and His righteousness. It's the way that we set out our Daniel prayer meetings. Of course, we also need to pray for our sanctification, to walk in the light and to turn from darkness. And if you do so first, then you can receive forgiveness of sins and receive answers and blessings even faster. I hope that you can live a blessed life. In our church, we live a life of faith, receive healing from various diseases and answers to prayer by offering worship and prayers pleasing to God. But it's important to remember that if we have received many blessings like forgiveness of sins, healing from disease, and the resolution of problems, Jesus said in John 5 verse 14, "Behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse happens to you." When we walk in the light, we have fellowship with Father God. And it's important for you to keep these words in mind. Sometimes people have major diseases or illnesses, life-threatening illnesses, they come to receive prayer for healing, but they don't break the wall of sin with God first. It's important for our church leaders, for our district leaders, for our parish leaders to make sure that people with these illnesses, with diseases, with problems, that they repent, that they look back on their life and repent to break down the barrier of sin between themselves and God. Of course, it's not just breaking down the barrier of sin, but also helping people realize what it is that they need to do, what kind of actions that they need to portray before God in order to receive healing, whether it's praying fervently, reading the Bible, coming before God more often, preparing for divine healing meetings. It's not just repenting and breaking the wall of sin, but it's also filling and accomplishing the justice before God in order to receive answers and healing works and blessings. There are actions that you must show before God, not just breaking the wall of sin, in order to fulfill the justice in the spiritual realm. For example, let's say that you are in need of a healing or a blessing of some sort, and you need to put in 70% of the effort. And let's say that you are able to, or you receive help from district leaders or church leaders or parish leaders, and you put in the 70% effort. But even after you receive the healing or the answers or the blessings, you still need to put in the effort continuously. You don't just stop. At least, 40% of the effort is still needed to continue a healthy life, to continue a healthy Christian life. Especially if it's an extremely major disease or problem that you needed answers to, you may hold on to and grab onto God to receive the healing or the answer. But the problem is, what happens after you receive that healing or answer? It's a worry when I see people that receive healing and answers because they put in the effort but then stop after they receive what they want. You shouldn't put your goal as to just receiving answers and healing the one time. You need to put in the goal of continuing that Christian life, in continuing to be sanctified, in continuing to be changed. There's no point in receiving healing and answers or blessings if it's all going to come back worse afterwards because you don't continue the effort. When we walk in the light, we have fellowship with Father God, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So may you realize how great Father God delights in worship and prayer offered in spirit and truth, and worship and pray with even greater heart, mind, and soul. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. May you present yourselves as living and holy sacrifices that are pleasing to God, and come to fully enjoy the amazing grace and spiritual blessings of heaven that God bestows.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cancel sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding, and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.